Be Matthew 5, 6 will be the fourth one, the fourth beatitude. We talked Wednesday night when we had, or I'm sorry, Sunday night when we had our invitation. We mentioned some of the things that we will cover in more depth tonight as an invitation. But we mentioned the fact that how man was created in a certain way. God created man, and he instilled in him or put instinct within him for certain things. Drives, passions, desires, things that we have within us. And there's times when those desires are not met, or what we want or our time frame that we think doesn't fit God's. And that's when we have to exhibit self-control. That's when we have to be strong and faithful when we have needs. Because God, He supplies our needs, all of our needs. It's not always when we think they should be, but He knows best, and He does supply them. I was noticing when I sat down and I thought about those things, I looked in this study, it said, this calls for self-control on the part of the person until that need can be satisfied or satisfied correctly. And my mind automatically jumped back to Abraham and Sarah. I mean, to me, that's an obvious, perfect example of where Sarah and Abraham tried to jump ahead of the plan. It wasn't coming along on the time frame that they thought. And, you know, it introduced Ishmael and Isaac and the problems that were there. Also thought about, you know, you think about Saul and his service. When they got their king that they finally wanted, we often think about, you know, when he didn't completely eradicate the Amalekites, but you can look back even before that. One of his first endeavors was when he was in Gilgal and the Philistines were building up and he was waiting on Samuel to come. And Samuel didn't arrive. And he had sat there for like 7 days, I think it was. And Samuel hadn't come. So he jumped ahead of the thing and he offered sacrifices himself. And that's when Samuel first announces that, you know, you've messed up. This throne is not going to be yours. You went against God's will. But then when you think about when things are done on time frames that we don't understand, we know of some that seem to be needs to us, but God sees it fit that it's never met. I thought about Paul when he had this thorn in the flesh. Paul wanted that removed. He prayed for that. But that wasn't something that fit God's time frame. And, you know, we don't know. We're not written or told that was ever removed. There's some things that we do a lifetime without because it's simply not the best for us. And God doesn't see to that. Those aren't needs that are real needs, but they're things that we feel like they are, I guess. Some needs are stronger than others. We use the example tonight of food and drink. We can only live a few days, it was mentioned, without water. Food's a little bit longer, depending on our condition, I guess. But still, it's needed. We have to have it, and our survival depends on it. We mentioned Sunday night Christ's temptation there. If you go back to Matthew 4 and chapter 4, when he's being tempted by Christ, he answered and said when he was tempted, of course, Satan hit him up when he was hungry. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He's in his most vulnerable physical condition that he could be in about turning the stones into bread. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I love that verse. And I think one of the best words in that verse, most important words, is the simple word every. Because we see the world today that reads that and they see, shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And they never think about every. Yeah.
In my studying on this, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we have to put God first.
Yeah.
And obey His word.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus was doing right here.
Right. Right. Get your priorities straight.
Exactly.
And everything else will fall in place. You know, when Christ used that, when his response to Satan and how he handled himself when Satan confronted him, he brought out just the whole situation in general, brought out the fact that man's physical, he's got physical needs, he's spiritual, he's got spiritual needs. And both sides of man have to be met. The spiritual side is so much more important than the physical, but that's hard to get through to worldly minds of a spiritual nature and the importance of it, because they're not thinking in eternal frame of mind. They're not thinking in spiritual means. They're thinking about physical things that they have here. It's hard to get people to see past the grave here on earth. But when Christ answered that answer, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I always so thought, when we started our introduction, we talked about what a great teacher that Christ was, how he had that ability to compile, how to put the things together, how to present it to men to spark their interest and to catch their attention and to make his points. This is nothing new. This quote that Christ made to them was nothing new. If you look at Deuteronomy 8 and verse 13, the same comment is made there. The children of Israel had been sustained by God in their wanderings. And it says there, the command when they were talking to remember the Lord, he says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. That's a lesson the world needs to learn today. Every word. We can't pick and choose. Everything's important. It's given to us for a reason. And that's why that word stands out good. But I thought about that when I read that, about how Christ could use those things. Things they were familiar with, weren't new, but he was such a good teacher about it. Made the point, man needs God, and he's not going to be content, and he's not going to be at peace at himself until he builds a relationship with God. We mentioned Sunday night, those at Athens, when Paul was there staged waiting on Timothy and Silas on his second journey there to come to him. And he took that opportunity, or seized that opportunity, to go to these people to identify or use the opportunity of this unknown God that they had there to preach God to them. I made some notes about these people. They were seeking what they couldn't find. They were never satisfied because they never found answers to what they saw around them. They were philosophers. They were looking for man's wisdom. They were looking for answers. And they're constantly searching because they're never being answered. They're never being filled, never being satisfied. Their senses tell them that something else is in control. There's a lot more to what is in this earth than what they know. And they're right about that. He's called God, but they didn't want to know that. They wanted to find it in another way, which you can't. They have a desire, if you'll notice, nearly everybody worldwide, regardless of the culture, they all have a desire to worship something. It's instilled in man. Now, they look in the wrong places for it. But man has that instinctual desire. He can see, just like Paul talked about in Romans 1, when he talked about the invisible attributes of the world that everybody can see. They know there's unanswered questions in their mind. There's something greater. And they seek. But until they come to God, until they find God, they're never going to feel that. Acts 17 there, that we were talking about, the ones there to Athens. Donnie's study recently helped me a whole lot, because Paul seized that opportunity. We're talking about hunger and thirsting for the righteousness of God. So to talk about God, that's exactly what Paul did when he had this opportunity in Acts 17 to talk to these people. Remember the 10 points that Donnie went over with us? Here's how Paul described God to them, because they didn't know Him. Who made the world, Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He's not worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. He gives life to all, breath and all things. He's made one blood, every nation of men, and He set their boundaries so that they should seek the Lord. That's where I'm going with this. That's the very things that are in place, and Paul's bringing out in this very speech to these Athenians, so that they should seek the Lord. They should see that and desire Him, have that hunger and thirst, and seek Him out and know Him. He goes on, He's not far from each one of you, and in Him we live, move, and have our being, for we are His offspring. He answered their questions, the things they didn't know, the things they sought for. He brought that to them. He seized that opportunity, and it was great. We talked about Isaiah 55:6 Sunday night for just a second. Man is therefore urged to seek God while he can be found. The implications of seeking God while he can be found, as we said the other night, implies that we can reach a point where God can't be found on our part. God is always there. He's always waiting, receptive to us. But we can callous ourselves, and we can come to a point that we are lost. God knows that. We talked about that. We talked about Romans 1:8 and the things there that Paul mentioned, that downward spiral that man gets into. And once he loses touch with God, God knows his minds. God knows his thoughts. God knows when he's lost. God knows when the only thing that's going to turn him around is anything is to give him over to his consequences. So we see that all the time about how he gives them over to their own demise. Ecclesiastes 12:13. In the writing there, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. That's our whole desire. That's our whole duty. And until we feel that duty, until we seek God out, we're never gonna be satisfied. Paul addressed that long, and if you look in 2 Corinthians there, he briefly mentions it in 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. We talked about that Sunday night, talking about leaving this body and the desire that we had to go into the other. We won't read it again, but we did. Verse 2 mentioned it. It said, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed our habitation which is from heaven." We seek that. That's what our desire is for. And we talked about setting our affections, our longings, our desires. We could call it a lot of things. Primary interest on the things above, which is what Colossians 3 verses 1-2 spoke about. Man is encouraged to seek God from first. Matthew 6:33, a lot of what Bernice was talking about there plays right into that. That's what Christ was teaching. Same basic thing. Seek me first. This other stuff will take care of itself as long as I'm a priority. That's what we need to go after. Thus, such a person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be blessed. I've got a handout. I should have never thought to do this. I don't know why, but I should have ran off some copies back here. If somebody wants to do that. Thank you, Ray. It's a copy of some questions we're going to go over. Does everybody want one? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 55, 56, 57, 58, I've got a few questions that we're going to go into here, and I put together some verses that'll answer these questions for us, and that we can look at it. It'll make good for studies. I know it's sometimes when you're studying and you want something to sit down with and kind of direct your mind on a subject or something, they're good to sit down and look at. But we're talking about these parallels or these similarities of what God instilled in man physically and what God instilled in man spiritually. There's a whole lot of common ground there that we can compare together. Does man have a choice in satisfying his physical appetites? Yes, he does, doesn't he? We get hungry. We don't have to sit and write down on a calendar or chart it out to remind us when to eat. We know our body tells us when it's hungry. But we can choose to satisfy it, or we can decide to curb it or suppress it and not eat. We've got that choice. We've got another choice of whether we want to eat good food or whether we want to eat bad food. We can overindulge or we can eat only what we want to. Thank you. Or we can eat only what we want to. And we see a lot of examples, especially in the physical world, where these people go on hunger strikes and they actually kill themselves by not eating. The body will eventually shut down when you cut it off from food long enough. So you can not feed yourself at all until you physically pass away, literally. It's happened. We see it. That desire is there, but man has that choice of whether or not he wants to feel that urge to eat, that hunger. So he does have that thing. That begs the second question. Does man have a choice in satisfying the spiritual needs of self? Absolutely. It's no different than the physical sense, really. Again, you can ignore it, suppress it, put it off, or you can satisfy it and you can eat. Think about what you eat. We talked before about when we eat things when we're hungry, sometimes we eat good food, sometimes we eat bad food. Same thing with spiritually. You can eat bad food or you can eat good food. The world's full of bad food. They're just like supermarkets that put those candy bars right there when you hit that cash register. They know what they're doing. And that's what we see in the spiritual world. Candy, candy, candy. But it's not good food. And it will kill us. And what it does is it deceives people into this thinking that they've got this relationship with God we talked about Sunday night when they really, really don't. 2 John verse 9 made it clear that only the one who abides in the doctrine of Christ has the Father and the Son. If you abide in any other doctrine, any other thing, then you don't have Christ. You have nothing. And this is a black and a white thing because Paul, you know, he really brought that out in Galatians with them in chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, about how varying, just adding to, just subtracting, any kind of corruption that you allow into to Christ's doctrine makes you lost. He said in, I think it's in 5 verse 4 of Galatians, you've fallen from grace. They allowed something else in addition to what Paul had saved them with in the doctrine, and that was some of the Jewish traditions. And he said, because of that, you have fallen from grace. It's serious. Or we can eat good food. We can seek for truth that sets us free. John 8:31 and 32. Where Christ there answers, says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But if we back up to 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Got to abide in that word, though. That's the catch. And you shall know the truth because you're abiding in my word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So that's the good food. That's the only food that's going to cause us to grow and be healthy for us. It satisfies us permanently, I had wrote down here. Our seeking must be after God's righteousness, though, and not after man's ideas of righteousness. We mentioned the other night Romans 10. You probably remember that. That's where Paul makes that plea, and he so desires that his fellow Israelites would conform and would accept Christ and be saved. That's what he was wanting. Romans 10, starting with verse 1, we'll read the first three verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. They had a wrong zeal. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. It has to be for the righteousness of God. We have to hunger and thirst for His righteousness. You hear the Jews sought their own righteousness through the old law. And he's making the point, it can't be that way. It's got to be after God's righteousness. Man's idea of righteousness can be a perversion of God's truth. We saw that in Galatians, we talked about it. Or a total rejection of Jesus is man's only access to the Father. And I say that, John 14:6. I say that because man's skewed idea of Christ. They want to say they know Christ. They have a relationship with Christ, but they don't know His teaching. If you don't know the doctrine, if you don't know His teaching, then you don't know Him. You don't know righteousness. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, they know Christ. They claim that they know Christ, but they don't know Christ's teachings. They can't come to Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody's coming to Him except through me. And they have no clue of His teaching. No clue of His Word. Today, man will seek in vain to become righteous before God. It's all in vain if you don't accept Christ as Lord and Master. Third question, can man starve his soul just like he can starve his physical body? Absolutely. He can commit spiritual suicide, just like the hunger strikes do, and he can starve himself down and reach that ugly, scary point that Isaiah 55:6 mentions, you know, about seek Him while He be found, because you can fall into a pit that you lose your way out. You can't find your way back. That's very, very scary. We neglect feeding our soul. Hebrews 5:11 is a common one that we look at. Talks about the milk and the solid food. 5:11-14. Of whom we also say have much to say and hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. Remember that, first principles. Remember that word, first principles. Of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, if we don't eat, and if we don't build ourselves to the point to be able to know what is good and what is bad, we are bait for the world. We're bait to the predators, the spiritual predators in the world that would pull us away from the true doctrine. It's no different than a herd of antelope. If we're weak and we're out, we're going to get picked off because we can't defend ourselves. We can't take care of ourselves. We can become weak and sickly spiritually by not taking in proper spiritual food. 1 Corinthians 11. I know we've read these before. I know that, but they're so applicable to today, and we're going to make that point here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 11:28-34. But let a man examine himself, and so Let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, and we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait on one another. But if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home. That's what we do at home. Lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. We see that inability if we don't build ourselves up to protect ourselves. We see that inability to do that. We see the things that we fall into. Jesus made this very clear in Matthew 4:4 that we talked about. Bread alone. We got to eat every word. How we preach to our children growing up. And we have such a hard time. Eat those vegetables. Eat those vegetables. Eat everything. You need every food group. You need nutrition. No different to us spiritually. If we're not doing that, we're lying sick. We're getting weak. We survive spiritually by constantly feeding on the Word of God. Go to Colossians. You know, verses that we often use and we often go to. I think about this. How many times do you go back in a study on a verse or on a subject and you read something that you've read I don't know how many times before, but something else comes to your mind and you thought, you know, I never thought about that. That happens a lot with me because evidently I don't think very deep. But Colossians is no difference here. Colossians 2 verses 6 through 10. Something came to me. It makes a good discussion here. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Listen to this warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. Remember that principle thing we talked about just a second ago? According to the basic principles of the world. If you've got the King James Version, you'll see the word rudiments. The definition of rudiments is basic principles. So there's basic principles of the world that they will use to cheat us and to draw us away. And not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. You know, I thought about that basic principles of the world to cheat us, to bring us away. That's used today. Is that not exactly what happens today? Basic principles of the world are the things that we're talking about. Our worldly passions. Hunger, entertainment, thirst. You know, all these things that we have desire for are basic principles that we have instilled in us. That's what they use to cheat us with. And if you think about that, look back at Christ and His temptations. Exactly what Satan did with Him, wasn't it? Make bread, food. He knew He starved for 40 days. He knew what physical shape Christ was in. Throw a basic principle of hunger in front of Him. Look at all this. All this can be yours. You know, throw these basic principles of the world and of our human nature and try to draw them away. It's the same thing, but they do it today even in the world. We deceive people with these physical principles instead of spiritual ones. Entertainment, you know. That's the big one anymore. But you got athletics, you've got all these other things, hunger, social things, this social desire that man has. And don't underestimate that social desire that God put in us to be with others, because it's great. And a majority of the people, you know yourself from talking to other people, they'll go to another denomination over social stuff and entertainment quicker than anything. That's what they desire. That's what they want. And that's one of these basic principles of the world, of us, that they use against us. And, you know, you mention it, but it goes on and it goes on. It never stops. Here's some verses. You know, rudiments was the word that the King James Version uses, and New King James is basic principles of the world. To help us understand that better, go to Galatians. I know I'm going to run over a little bit, but go to Galatians 4 just a minute. Verses 3 and verses 9. These are the same places that use that word that's translated rudiments or basic principles. These are the same. These are verses that use that same word. Even so we, when we were children, were bondage under the elements of the world. We see there, it's defining for us what these elements of the world that we talked about in Colossians, these basic principles of the world. Immaturity. Ignorance is what he's talking about here. Verse 9, but now after you've known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? That's the same word that was translated basic principles of the world, or rudiments. Weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage. Hebrews 5:12 I had wrote down. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again those first principles that we mentioned of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. First principles are the basic, the foundation principles, the lowest element, basic things. The very things, the simple things that we fall to today still. That's why, you know, when you get to looking at these verses here, And you see the same word used in these other ways, you know, defined these other ways, it begins to give you a better knowledge of what he's talking about rudiments and what he's talking about basic principles of the world. It helps you to understand. It's these same things we fall to today. Same thing that was used with Christ. It's all the same. Next week, you all have got the handout. That's what we're getting ready to just briefly, we're going to briefly go over those. As a matter of fact, may just pick out a couple out of each one to just even mention next week. But go ahead and do those, and we'll just mention a thing or two, and that way that'll speed us up. We won't go through every single one of them. And then we should be able to finish up pretty quick next week on that, and we'll be off to the merciful. Bless the merciful. Anybody questions? Anything I need to clear up, clean up, make mistakes? Anything. Thanks.